Thank you, Chair. We would like to, at this stage, address our comments only specific to paragraph 23 and 24, and on the subsequent paragraphs, we would like to return later during the course of our discussions. First, a general comment on how we are approaching this issue. Mr. Chair, as we highlighted yesterday as well and previously in our meetings, we believe that this exercise is taking place not just within the scope of IEHL, but in the broader framework, the mandate that has been given to this GGE, where we are looking at the existing options of protocols that have been negotiated and trying to evolve a normative and operational framework that is rooted in various tenets of international law. This understanding is also consistent with our previous agreements reached in the course of GGE. So with this understanding, our proposals on paragraph 23 and 24, we are approaching in this context. In paragraph 23, Mr. Chair, we have heard this morning that there may be some concerns that this language here, as it is drafted, it may unintentionally bring the existing weapon systems which are already in use. We understand those concerns, although from where we see it, if we read it together with Para 19 and with the characteristics and characterizations that you have provided in the report, we believe that our scope is very clear. But if it helps us in moving forward, we would be happy to consider how we can strongly tie this language with the weapon systems that we are discussing in the area of laws to ensure that we are targeting this. And again, these options, the provisions of being able to interrupt, disable, or otherwise control the systems, we believe these are requirements that should be inbuilt. States should ensure that, not just to comply with international humanitarian law, but also broadly to operationalize all our previous agreements that we have reached in GGE. In paragraph 24, Mr. Chair, we believe that in this report, we are trying to build on our previous agreements. And as you have pointed out previously, that it would be useful if we are able to operationalize our guiding principles, most importantly in 2019. Simply stating them again should not be enough and will not be a justification to our mandate. So in that context, I would just like to draw attention that these concepts of state responsibility, human responsibility, individual responsibility, or accountability, they're all agreed terms and phrases and concepts that have been part of our reports since at least 2016 when the discussion started on these weapon systems. In the group of informal experts, we have the notion of state responsibility in accordance with applicable international law and not just IEHL. Similarly, in the GGE report, we have guiding principles, guiding principle B and D, which talk about human responsibility and accountability, and again, in the context of applicable international law. So we need to see how we can operationalize and build on those systems. And here, we fully support the approach that you have taken in various sub-paragraphs, in particular on paragraph sub-paragraph 24D and 24E. We believe that it is consistent with the international responsibility of states that is also laid down in the draft articles prepared by the International Law Commission in 2001. We believe that it is also consistent with the Article 3 of 1907 Hague Convention and with other bodies of customary international law as well, including Rules 149, which talks about responsibility for violation of IEHL. So in this context, it will be very difficult for my delegation here to agree on a threshold, on a benchmark that is even lower than what we had agreed in the past. So we encourage everybody to approach this paragraph and this language in that context. Thank you.